Are we in the beginning stages of another tech bubble?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The stock price of social networking site LinkedIn sits this morning at more than twice its initial public offering value. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers told an audience in Shanghai that could be indicative of another tech bubble forming. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS MoneyWatch. She's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
You've got the former Treasury Secretary now talking about a possible bubble forming. What's making him believe that?
Well, I think that there's just this general resumption of risk-taking going on, and we saw that with the LinkedIn IPO yesterday. Here's a company that made, you know, profits of about $15 million last year,
Yeah. And
it's worth $9 billion. I don't think any sane investor would put that bet down, and yet tons of them did yesterday, and that may show somewhat of a willing sense of suspension of belief in terms of what companies really can do.
Well, does that mean the stock price is going to go down? Is that what you're predicting?
Well, I don't know if I would predict that, but I'll tell you what I would say. We did some analysis at MoneyWatch.com, and a bunch of studies have showed that the average IPO has returned just about one-third as much as the S&P 500 index, and yet people keep chasing them, and I think that does show that investors really act in irrational ways sometimes. But remember, may not be irrational for a long enough time, so you don't want to take a bet either way.
Just about 10 seconds, Jill. What does it say about a Facebook or Twitter IPO down the pike?
Well, I don't know. Facebook is supposedly worth somewhere between $70 and $100 billion on the secondary market right now, so this is going to be massive. Twitter, probably about the same size as LinkedIn, but I'll tell you, this Facebook thing is going to be a gorilla when it hits the market, and everybody's going to want in on the action.
Jill Schlesinger in New York. Jill, thanks.
Thank you.
The federal government has a new message for health insurers. Think long and hard before trying to raise premiums more than 10%. But insurance companies say a new rule announced by the Department of Health and Human Services will drive them to drop coverage in some areas. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more.
One of the big promises of health care reform is that everyone in the U.S. can get coverage, regardless of pre-existing conditions. Ethan Rome is with Healthcare for America Now. He says insurers anticipate paying for all those pre-existing conditions.
And they've been jacking up rates at double-digit levels.
Starting this fall, if insurance companies want double-digit increases, they'll need permission to do it on individual or small group plans. Peter Pitts is with the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest.
Certain insurance companies will decide not to do business in certain states and areas where they simply can't get the rates they need to stay in business.
Christopher Bowe is a healthcare analyst with Informa.
My guess is that they'll be flexible and look for ways to change their business model to stay profitable and become more efficient.
He says insurers have shown flexibility. The health insurance industry is on its way to a third year of record profits. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added about 45 points. It closed at 12,605.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com.
Word today that Tokyo Electric Power, TEPCO, reported a $15 billion loss in its last fiscal year, Japan's biggest ever outside of the financial sector. TEPCO's president also announced he's stepping down because of the mess that is the Fukushima nuclear plant, a disaster that has a lot of countries thinking twice about nuclear power, but not Russia, which is pushing ahead with expansion plans, Peter Van Dyke reports.
The Kremlin loves nuclear energy, and it wants to make money out of it. These days, President Dmitry Medvedev says in a video on his blog, nuclear power is the most profitable way to make electricity. And the safest way, he adds, if the rules are followed. Russia aims for its nuclear sector to be a top export earner behind gas and oil. The state nuclear company, Rosatom, is now building 5 reactors abroad and says it has orders for 30 more. But Medvedev's pitch shows that the sales are about politics too.
Russia traditionally has tended to use commerce as a way of exerting its political influence around the world. So my guess is that the government, even now, would be prepared to take a bit of a cut on the profitability of these projects in order to spread its influence.
Derek Weaving is with Renaissance Capital Investment Bank in Moscow. He says Russian reactors are cheaper.
The technology that they sell is by and large less sophisticated. It doesn't necessarily mean it's less safe, but I think it would be a long time yet before Western governments have the confidence to give these contracts to Rosatom on its own.
To overcome safety concerns in the West, Rosatom will have to team up with companies like Westinghouse and Francis Areva. Russian environmentalists like Vladimir Slivyak of Eco Defense say the West is right not to trust Russia's safety claims.
This is why we're worrying about places like Belene in Bulgaria, in Akuyu in Turkey, in Medzamor in Armenia, because those places are with really high risk of earthquakes.
Slivyak is confident Bulgaria and Turkey will rethink their deals with Russia. Weaving disagrees. He says governments struggling to cut carbon emissions have little choice but to go nuclear. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, Robert Spiering and his wife traveled to Chicago from Ontario, Canada to see Oprah Winfrey's star-studded farewell spectacular. But they didn't have tickets to the event. Spiering thought he could buy tickets from a scalper outside. But when that plan failed, he tried something else, like telling police he'd been robbed of Oprah tickets, even going as far as cutting and scraping himself to make it look all authentic. He finally confessed to the fake mugging and spent the night in jail. Spiering said he didn't want his wife to be angry for not seeing the show. We've got some pictures of Oprah's extravaganza at our website, marketplace.org, even a video there, too. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's a town in Ireland called Moneygall. It's pretty far off beaten path. The president's going to visit next week, though, and things might change.
You know, it will be all, the gold will be left out. It'll be all money, 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 money.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, putting Moneygall on the map and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street, all of that jazz. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.